You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning and welcome into First Take. Thank you so much for being with us. Alongside Stephen A. Smith, I'm Molly Caron. We've got a lot to get into today, including the start of the NCAA tournament. But we start with perhaps the biggest story in sports right now. Investigative reporter Tisha Thompson, kind enough to join us. Thank you for being with us, Tisha. To MLB News, where Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, Ipe Mitsuhara, was fired yesterday after running up gambling debts that were paid from Ohtani's bank accounts. Multiple sources have told ESPN they totaled at least $4.5 million in wire transfers to a Southern California bookmaker under federal investigation. An Ohtani spokesperson at first said that the Dodgers star had covered his friend's debts, but later said that Ohtani was a victim of massive theft and authorities have been involved. As I just mentioned, Tisha Thompson here with us, who broke the story for ESPN. Tisha, good morning.
Good morning.
I know it's been a very busy morning for you all over the place. Thank you so much for the time. Tisha, let's start here. How did this start?
Well, we had been looking into what you were talking about, a federal probe that's going on into a bookmaking operation out of Southern California. We had had multiple sources tell us this was happening. So we were digging into that, and multiple sources and documents I had seen showed that Ohtani's name was on a wire transfer, or I should say wire transfers, that had been sent to the bookmaking operation, to an associate of the man who is in charge of the bookmaking operation, according to the sources we talked to. So we wanted to understand why. And as part of our journalism, we, of course, reached out to Ohtani's spokesperson. And Ohtani's spokesperson then facilitated an interview with the interpreter, Ipe Mitsuhara, who spent 90 minutes on the phone with me. And it was a couple of hours before the season opener in South Korea that happened. This was Tuesday night for me on the East Coast. And we spoke about what happened. And he laid out a story where he said that he had gotten in over his head. I'm paraphrasing here, of course, that he had gotten in over his head and had accumulated so much debt, which, as you mentioned, sources had told us was about at least $4.5 million, that he had gone to Ohtani and had said, can you help me? And Ohtani eventually offered to pay off his debt. And according to Mitsuhara, in that first interview, he said that Ohtani was the one who logged onto the computer and paid off the first wire wire transfers while Mitsuhara gave him directions based on what he'd been told by the bookmaking operation on how to pay them off. Of course, things then dramatically changed.
Okay, so I guess my question would be, first of all, there's two checks here, according to your report. Bank information showing Ohtani's name on two $500,000 payments. Yet somehow, some way, the word theft comes into play. How does that work?
I just want to clarify one thing, Stephen A., because sure. I'm the one who saw them. They're wire transfers. They're not okay. checks. And I just okay. want to make sure we get no our facts yeah. perfectly right, right?
No problem.
So, yes. Wire transfers. Okay. So how does this happen? How do we get to the words massive theft? We were getting ready to publish our story. This was yesterday. This is in the morning of Wednesday. Apparently, at the same time, based on what sourcing has told us, there was a meeting right after the game was over in South Korea. And the players went behind closed doors, and the owner of the team stands up and says, there's a story coming. And Mitsuhara gets up. This is based on what a Dodger official who was in the meeting has told ESPN. That Mitsuhara gets up and, again, based on what I've been told, says something to the effect of, I'm sorry, I apologize, I have a gambling problem. Another player says, well, so what? And that is when the president of the Dodgers says, well, Ohtani paid off the debts. Again, I'm paraphrasing here because I was not in the meeting. This is based on what a Dodgers official said. So Ohtani, who has, he's not fluent in English. Everyone says that. But he has enough understanding of English, according to the sources we talked to yesterday, to start to say what? And he goes, after the meeting's over, he starts to ask questions. They get a different interpreter. And through that different interpreter, this is what these sources close to Ohtani, who were privy to what happened, told ESPN, that that's when he found out about the money missing in his account.
So if you're saying that he found out about the money missing.
Obviously, the story changes.
Yeah. The story obviously changes. I guess what we're wondering about, we're talking about two $500,000 wire transfers that came from Ohtani's account. Last time I checked, correct me on my math, ladies, that's $1 million.
Yeah.
But we're talking about $4.5 million. So there's an additional $3.5 million that got out of his account. I mean, based on what you're hearing, is the implication here that the interpreter had access to Ohtani's account and somehow, some way, got an additional $3.5 million on top of the two $500,000 wire transfers that came out of his account?
So what we've been told is that there were a series of wire transfers. ESPN has seen two of them totaling $1 million. We have confirmed with multiple sources who have knowledge of what's going on, including from Mitsuhara himself, that it is more than that, that it is 8 to 9 wire transfers is what Mitsuhara told me in that 90-minute interview. As soon as we got the statement alleging massive theft, I, of course, and our folks in the ESPN investigative unit started calling a lot of people, and including I call Mitsuhara. And I said, did you lie to me during that interview? And he says, yes. And through a series of questions that I then ask him, he says Ohtani never knew about the gaming debts and that Ohtani didn't make the payments. The big question, Stephen A., is how did those payments get made?
Okay. Here's my big question, too. What specifically did he admit lying about to you? What specifically were the lies?
He said that he said it was an interesting conversation, Stephen A. He said that Ohtani did not know about his gaming debts and that Ohtani did not pay his gaming debts.
Okay.
So he had also said in his initial conversation that he offered to pay Ohtani back. And when I said, did you offer to pay Ohtani back? He said, yes. But there was a back and forth there. So the last thing he said, and I think this is really important, is obviously this is all my fault. Everything I've done, I'm ready to face the consequences.
Okay.
Can you tell us how it's connected to the federal investigation?
So this federal investigation, there's a wide-ranging probe going on about bookmaking operations. And there have been some guilty pleas that have already taken place out of the same U.S. Attorney's Office in the Central District of California that multiple sources have told us have been looking into this specific bookmaking operation. There was a gentleman named Wayne Nix, who's already pleaded guilty and is awaiting sentencing for operating a bookmaking operation. There were people connected to that operation who have pleaded guilty as well. And there have been athletes who've been implicated as part of that specific bookmaking operation. So we've been paying attention to what's happening there because there's also been guilty. There was a guilty plea real recently out of Las Vegas connected to bookmaking operations with a high ranking casino official. And there are casinos that have made payments to the federal government based on these bookmaking operations and these guilty pleas. So the one that we are looking at specifically, no one has been charged, but we have multiple sources saying investigators are looking at it.
Having said all of that, I guess, you know, because if you're the American people and you're watching, if you're the baseball community the world over, you're watching right now, you're wondering, at the end of the day, it comes down to whether or not Shohei Ohtani had anything to do with this whatsoever, because it would involve gambling and baseball. Do you have any indication as to the seriousness with which Ohtani is really treating this situation because of that specific implication that he and his team want to eradicate? Clearly, the Dodgers get it. One would imagine Shohei Ohtani and his team gets it. But has anybody spoken to you about the seriousness of that and how he wants to address that to make sure the world knows he had nothing to do with gambling on the sport whatsoever, even though Mitsuhara claims that he never bet on baseball?
There's a lot of questions right now, Stephen A., and those are very, very good questions, and that's what we are trying to get to the bottom of. We've obviously been asking Major League Baseball, Dodgers, anyone connected to this that has control over investigations and punishment, okay, what happens? I will tell you, we have sourcing that says that Major League Baseball is following closely what's coming out of that U.S. Attorney's office. I'm paraphrasing. They're following the lead, let's say, of the federal investigation. They want to know what's going on there. The Dodgers pointed out someone connected with the Dodgers organization pointed out to me that this happened, and of course we knew this. This happened when Ohtani was playing with the Angels. There's still a lot of questions that need to be answered. You know that we are trying to get answers to them. But that's the conversation right now. Because let's not forget, you know this, I know this, but I want to make sure people understand, Ohtani is the highest paid player of all time in North American sports. Yeah. He was offered and signed a $700 million contract in December for 10 years with the Dodgers. That's why he is a big deal.
Well, he's a big deal for that reason and a lot of others because he's the modern day Babe Ruth in a lot of people's eyes. But I got to say this. I got to say this on behalf of just the average person watching. So are they trying to say to us that an interpreter had access to his account that would enable him to get an additional $3.5 million out of that account on top of two $500,000 wire transfers? I mean, because that's really what it comes down to. I mean, all of us know folks, all of us have associates, all of us have people who work for us, but for the interpreter to have for the interpreter to have pulled this off, all right, the way they're proclaiming it's transpiring, it comes across as if they're trying to say that interpreter somehow, some way swindled this money from him because of gambling. And I'm trying to figure out how would an interpreter have access to that account. Am I wrong in asking that question?
You and me both, Stephen A. We're trying to figure out how, and I think this is the fundamental question, how did wire transfers get made with Shohei Ohtani's name on them?
Mm-hmm. By the way, but one more last question. How long has this been going on, just for the audience? Right? How long has this been transpired? Did this begin in 2021? Was it earlier than that? Was it later than that? How long has this been going on?
Right now, I am working on sourcing that it's been about 2 years. Mitsuhara told me that the initial meeting with the bookmaker happened in 2021. That's based on what Mitsuhara said, and that the betting began soon after that, and that he, in his initial interview, that 90-minute interview, claimed that he went to Ohtani in 2023, but of course he then walked that back and said Ohtani didn't know. The wire transfers that I saw were from September and October of 2023.
Got it. So an admitted gambling addict, because according to your report, that's what Mitsuhara, you know, proclaimed himself to be. He's got a gambling addiction. He's got a gambling problem. Correct, Tisha? I'm correct in saying that?
One thing that has not changed, I mean, I shouldn't say one thing, but something that has not changed is that Mitsuhara says that he was the one placing the bets.
Right.
That did not change.
But one thing I just want to say, Stephen A., that was like twofold to what you said earlier. So obviously there would be implications if they were betting on baseball, which he claimed he did not. It was international soccer, NBA, NFL, and college football. But there's another piece in all of this is that sports betting is illegal in California, regardless of what you're betting on, correct?
That is correct.
Exactly. And I do think that, I think this is a cautionary tale for folks. And I appreciate you bringing that up because through the course of my reporting on bookmaking and sports betting and what's legal and what's not legal, it's become very apparent to me that people may not understand that that sports betting in places like California and Texas is not legal. It's not regulated by the government. So if you're placing a sports bet in a state like that, you really need to ask yourself questions. And if you are placing a sports bet in a state that has made sports betting legal, but you're being extended credit, you need to ask yourself some really tough questions because regulated sports betting requires the bettor to put money up front. Credit is something you need to ask a lot of questions about.
Well, I think the thing that we need to let the audience remind the audience about, first of all, Tani comes around. He's here in 2018. The interpreter has been with him since day one, but suddenly nothing started until 2021. That's a bit suspicious for somebody that admits they had a gambling addiction. If you got a gambling addiction, chances are you didn't sit up there in the league since 2018, and then it was only until 2021 where things jump-started. So that's suspicious in and of itself. Secondly, I think this is the biggest question that I have to ask you. Not the biggest, but Tisha, I must ask, what were you guys looking into or who were you guys looking into before you found out about Otani? Because something like this, yes, as a reporter for 30 years, something could fall in your lap, and I get that. But in the same breath, clearly, this is a story that you've been paying attention to that could be far more expansive than Otani. Now, Otani's the big fish now because his name is implicated, whether directly or indirectly or whatever. But is this something else that you're looking into that extends beyond Otani when it comes to the sport of Major League Baseball?
Stephen A., here's what I can tell you. Wayne Nix, which is the name of the bookmaker who's already pleaded guilty, was connected, and you can read about it in our story, was connected to athletes and other people connected to sports. So we really have been paying attention to what's happening here with this federal probe because it does involve sports betting. It involves athletes. In the Knicks operation, I'm talking specifically. It involves athletes. It involves people connected to sports. And sports betting is a very evolving thing happening right now in our society. Yeah. States are making it legal. It keeps changing on us. We have to keep looking. How many states have made it legal now? At last count, it was up to almost 40 states in the District of Columbia. Mm-hmm. So this is something we're paying very close attention to at ESPN, especially in the investigative unit.
So you're not just talking about baseball. You're talking about all sports, especially when you in the case of Knicks.
I'm paying very close attention to bookmaking.
There we go. Okay.
Can I ask you a question? I'm just curious your opinion on switching gears here. I understand that he had said that he took the money from Otani, that Otani was unaware. Mm-hmm. But if that wasn't the case, right, and Otani paid off his friend's bet, do you think there should be implications for Major League Baseball considering that Mitsuhara was employed by them as an interpreter?
Well, I'm not going to sit up there. And you can please put Tisha up because I want her to see my answer when I want to see her when I'm answering this question, Molly. Very good question. I'm not going to be quick to implicate the sport of Major League Baseball. Listen, stuff happens all the time. It's how you handle it that matters. So if you've got if I'm Major League Baseball, I'm not paying so much attention to the interpreter as much as I'm paying attention to the athletes, the managers, the coaches, the executives, et cetera, et cetera. The interpreter is relevant to Major League Baseball because the biggest star in the sport requires having one. So we understand it. That doesn't mean you don't have to watch them or anything like that, but I could understand if that level of slippage kicked in where you might have missed that and all of a sudden great reporters like Tisha Thompson ultimately capture what's transpiring and we get all of that. I totally understand that, but I will say this. as just an average layman sitting here hearing this story, I can't wait to see what else you discover about this issue, because I find it very, very difficult to believe that an interpreter has access to the account of the biggest star in baseball. It's just, it's one thing to ask a guy a favor and for him to give you a wire transfer or to put forth a wire transfer or two $500,000 payments. I don't care if it was a wire transfer for $4.5 million. I'm saying, to me, where things, where my eyebrows get raised is when you're telling me an interpreter somehow, some way, it could potentially be involved in an additional $3.5 million missing from your account. There's family members that I'm connected to. They don't have access to my account.
But Stephen A., let's not forget, and I think it's really important, everyone takes away from this, Ohtani has not been accused of a crime.
Of course.
If anything, his lawyers have said that he is the victim, the potential victim of an alleged crime, and they are characterizing it as massive theft.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Well, okay, massive theft. We're going to stick with that. And if we're sticking with that, I'm saying right now at this moment, the interpreter is being investigated for that. And I'm just looking at it. I'm just being real with y'all.
You were just saying, how did he get access to the account?
How did he get access to that account? We got to find that out. We want to find out who else had access to that account. Because, again, we're talking, when you talk gambling and baseball, we know what name comes up. It's one. Yeah. It's Pete Rose. That's the first name that everybody thinks about, who's been banned for life from the sport. This is very, very serious, particularly in the sport of Major League Baseball, no matter what times we are living in. And the interpreter got fired and fined, and people are not going to miss him. Outside of that, what do you think about? Why is this a story? Because Shohei Ohtani's name is attached to this story. And I'm sure you'll get to the bottom of it today.
Tisha, before we let you roll, what's next here?
Well, the lawyers said that they were reporting the massive theft to authorities. We're trying to get more details about that. A source with knowledge said that it's complicated in part because everybody who really is involved in this, for the most part, is in South Korea right now. The Dodgers and the Padres played this morning. The game just finished for folks who are watching earlier on ESPN. And the people who are there include the Dodgers organization, the Dodgers owner, the Dodgers president, Ohtani's camp, many of the people that, you know, surround Ohtani and support him because he is such a major superstar. And most important, Ohtani and Mitsuhara.
One of the things I think, Tisha, before we let you go, thank you so much.
Wealth of knowledge.
Tremendous job, of knowledge, the whole bit. I think one of the things have to watch.
And thank you, guys.
I think one of the things we also have to watch out for is what the bank is going to have to say, because usually with transactions and what have you, you require a verbal callback at the very least in this day and age because of so many things that have transpired in recent memory involving the bank. So they could use the language barrier and the interpreter. They could use all of those things as an excuse, but you're going to see a lot of people ready to protect themselves, and it's going to be real interesting to see what the fallout from all of this is going to be.
Absolutely. Tisha, continue to keep us posted as the story unfolds. Thank you so much for your time.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at lq.com.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take pod. Have a fabulous day.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Stephen A., let's head to the association for a quick take. The Bucks came up short against the Celtics, 122-119. Milwaukee, they were without Giannis, and Tatum led the way for the Seas, dropping 31 points. S.A., should this be a moral victory for the Bucks for keeping it close without Giannis?
I think so. I think when you consider the greatness of the Boston Celtics this year and what the expectations, the championship expectations are when it comes to them, the fact that you're on the court without Giannis and you're battling down to the wire against these Boston Celtics teams, I do believe that says a lot about the Milwaukee Bucks and their belief in themselves and what they're going to be capable of doing once they get Giannis back.
Dan?
National championship or overtime. Who's going to be the hero tonight?
Chidiakono. Look, the deck. Three for the win. It's good. It's good. Madness has hit its peak.
The Cinderella team has done it. The Cloud Clipper fifth.
Jordan. Cole, we got a star. The ultimate upset has happened.
This basketball team is going to beat anybody in this tournament.
Time to put a banner on the roof.
Holy smokes.
You fight to keep playing in March.
Oh, the Hawk Slam!
If you're not willing to do whatever it takes to win a national championship, you don't belong in the room.
Dan Hurley and the UConn Huskies will look to do something that hasn't been done in nearly 20 years, go back and cut down nets in Arizona. According to the odds at ESPN Bet, UConn the favorite to defend their title and become the first March Madness repeat champion since Florida in 06-07. Fellow one seeds Houston and Purdue are the next most likely champions, according to the odds makers, followed by Arizona and North Carolina. And here they are, Jay Billis, Seth Greenberg. Good morning, guys. Thank you so much for being with us.
What's up, fellas?
Good morning. Good morning.
All right, Jay, you're up first. Who is the one seed most likely to get bazounced?
Well, I would say there are two of them. I think both North Carolina and Houston have really difficult second-round games if it goes according to seed. I mean, Houston could wind up playing Texas A&M, which they played earlier in the year. And Texas A&M is the best offensive rebounding team in the country. And they have Wade Taylor, the fourth, who can get you 35 in any given game. And North Carolina could wind up playing Mississippi State, who blew out Tennessee in the Southeastern Conference tournament. And they are really tough defensively, talented, and they've got a bucket getter in Josh Hubbard. So those are difficult sort of second round games where you're playing the 8-9 winner. And if those specific opponents get to them, that could make them a little bit vulnerable early.
What about you, Coach?
Yeah, I agree with the Texas A&M. Texas A&M is the perfect team to play against this Houston team. You're taking away their strengths. They want to turn you over. Well, they got a terrific backcourt. Bootsy Radford and Wade Taylor, they're dynamic. Both of them can get downhill, make plays, score at the basket. So that Jamal Shedd dominance might not happen. And then on the glass, it's violent. This would be a violent basketball game. Two teams, when that ball's shot, sometimes both of those teams, their best offense is the missed shot. So I think it'll be really interesting. If Houston plays A&M, when that ball goes under glass, it will be decided by grown men.
What are we to make of Purdue? They're the number one seed in the Midwest, obviously 29-4 in the season. There's a lot of expectations in a lot of people's eyes. You got Mad Dog Russo up here screaming yesterday about how nobody's got more pressure on them than Purdue Boilermakers. What are your thoughts about them in the Midwest region and ultimately getting themselves to the Final Four?
I mean, I've got Purdue as a Final Four team.
Go ahead, Jay.
Well, I mean, I think Purdue's carrying some baggage, and the question is, are they going to put it down before they get to the tournament? And there's sort of a PTSD that goes along with losing 3 years in a row to a double-digit seed. They're being doubted. They've been incredibly consistent throughout the course of the year, but that was true last year. High-level consistency is one thing, but if you slip up in a tournament game, but they're older this year. You know, they don't have freshman guards anymore. Those guys are sophomores, and Braden Smith and Fletcher Loyer are much better this year than they were last year. They have Lance Jones this year, who provides them with a ton of athleticism at the three spot, really good defensive player, and he can get up and down the floor. So I think they're in a better position to advance and perhaps get to the Final Four this year as they were in the last couple years. But I think the hurdles they face are more mental than anything. But the last time that a number one seed that had lost to a 16, that was Virginia. And they won the national championship the next year and had a miracle against Purdue in the Elite Eight when Mamadi Diakite made that shot to tie the game and send it into overtime. So Purdue needs to follow that playbook that Virginia had.
Coach, let me go to you on this note, because I know you love talking about your man John Calipari. I'm looking at him right now in the South region as a number three seed, okay? I'm assuming you can beat Oakland, and then you'd have Texas Tech NC State winner in the second round, if I'm reading correctly. Your thoughts on Kentucky, what they've got going for them this year, and whether or not they can pull off a run and get themselves to the Final Four, Coach Greenberg?
I've got Kentucky in the Final Four, and it's all about their backcourt. They have the most dynamic backcourt in college basketball. You talk about Cal, when his teams are really good, he's got great guards. That's just the way it is, where it's Fox, where it's Wall. When he has great guards, all of a sudden great things happen. He's got Rob Dillingham. He's going to break your ankles, or he's going to break someone's ankles during the course of this weekend. Then he's got Reed Sheppard, just snaps off passes, gives him transition baskets, a 50% three-point shooter. Antonio Reeves has had a monster season as a fifth-year senior, 40% three-point shooter. You're talking about a team that shoots 40 from the three, assists on about 57% of their field goals, has incredible depth in their front court. But to me, it's about their guard play and the emergence of Justin Edwards, maybe potentially as a wing lockdown defender. So I think that Cal will be just fine. You know, you trust your guards in the NCAA tournament, and they've got their guards are so good. Now they got to guard the ball every once in a while, but I think they'll clean that up for the tournament.
Well, because I love you both, I'm going to spare you from having to answer specific questions about the UConn Huskies.
Oh, I knew this was coming. Why can't I just have my moment in my ear?
You got to have her moments with the UConn Huskies. I got a better question for you, other than bloviating about how great and phenomenal they are and how they're the legitimate number one overall seed.
You never know what can happen in this
tournament. My question to y'all is this. I'm looking at Iowa State. Is there anyone else in that East bracket that UConn, or is there anyone, period, in the East bracket that UConn needs to be concerned about?
Illinois. Illinois is really good. They're not the best defensive team, but they have really good individual defenders. And with Terrence Shannon Jr., they've got a guy who's averaging 23, a big lefty that's a downhill driver that can also knock down a three. Averaged 34 points a game in the SEC, or excuse me, in the Big Ten tournament. Had 40 against Nebraska, then followed it up with 36 against Wisconsin. He's a first round draft pick, and he's been through a lot this year. You know, he's charged with a felony in Kansas, suspended, and then went to court, was reinstated, even though that charge is still pending. So he's been dealing with a lot, but they're an isolation team. He can isolate you. Marcus Domas can back you down. I think Illinois is one of the more dangerous three seeds in the tournament, along with Kentucky.
Mm. Seth, let me ask you this. With the four seeds, which team do you think could potentially make the deepest run when you're looking at Auburn, Duke, Alabama, Kansas?
I think three of those four get to the Sweet 16. One of those four gets knocked out in the first weekend, and that's going to be Kansas. Kansas is not a number four seed. I mean, you look at this Kansas team, they're going to be without Kevin McCullough. Kevin McCullough is their best perimeter defender, their best shot maker, and without him, a team that doesn't have any depth everyone moves up on the scouting report. So now all of a sudden, Johnny Furphy is going to have a better defender on him. It takes away a shot maker, which impacts spacing, even if Hunter Dickinson is healthy. I think the other fours will make it to the second weekend, but I think Kansas could even get bopped in their opening round game against Samford, a team that shoots 40% of their shots from the three. They press, they run. Achora Achora is a 6'9 guy that will pull Dickinson away from the basket. So my concern is Kansas. The other three, I think they get to the Sweet 16.
Jay, I haven't heard you say much about your Duke Blue Devils. I'd like you to talk to us about what you've seen from them this year. They're fourth seed. They're going up against Vermont in the first round. Your thoughts on what you've seen from them this year, your belief in them as this NCAA tournament gets set to unfold.
I think Duke is very good. They've been short of great this year, and they've had some moments where they played great in a game, but they haven't been able to sustain it. And I think the way the season ended was disappointing for them. I know it's disappointing for fans of that program, but they didn't bring the same level of competitiveness and fight in their last two games, in the season ender against North Carolina and then against NC State in the ACC tournament. But they've had some time to go back and sort of lick their wounds and get ready. I do like their draw in the tournament. If they wind up playing, if they get past their first round game against Vermont, they wind up playing maybe Wisconsin in the second round. That's not going to be a game in which the athleticism will decide it. But I think Duke got a very good draw in this tournament. The question is, are they gonna bring it with high level competitiveness? And they're capable of that. They just didn't show it at the end of the year like they had in earlier games.
Coach, let me go to you in the West region, because UNC, North Carolina, they're the number one seed. Haven't been hearing a lot of noise about them. Is that, as this NCAA tournament gets set to begin, is that a byproduct of them losing to NC State in the ACC title game? Or is it about Arizona being that number two seed in that region and that's what everybody's looking at?
I think it's more Arizona. I mean, you look at Arizona, at one point they were number one in the country this season. Arizona is an incredibly talented team. Everyone wants to see Arizona, North Carolina, Caleb Love, obviously, you know, get a chance to play against R.J. Davis. But this is an Arizona team that is really talented. They've got depth. They've got guard play. They've got Omar Ballo protecting the front of the rim. They can score in transition. They have really run some really nice half-court offense. I think that Arizona is a dangerous team that can match up in the front court with this North Carolina team. And it's an interesting matchup. Everyone's going to talk about Love and R.J. Davis. I think an interesting matchup is Harrison Ingram and Keyshawn Johnson, two transfers, one guy to transfer from Stanford, one guy to transfer from San Diego State. That could be a little bit of a game within a game, because both of those guys bring toughness to their teams.
Okay.
All right, we have to roll. But, Jay, because we have to let you go, one-word answer for us here, please. Who do you have winning it all?
Connecticut, all because of you.
There we go. With the smug face, just as I expected.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod, and have a fabulous day.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person.
And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
In front of representatives for all 32 NFL teams, former Heisman Trophy winner Caleb Williams widely expected to be the number one overall pick in the upcoming NFL draft of the Chicago Bears showed off his skill set during his pro day on Wednesday. Here's Bears cornerback Jalen Johnson on the Bears' potential number one QB pick.
Can't bring that Hollywood stuff into the building, especially now with guys who played this game. I feel like at a high level for consecutive years in the league. It's just something that guys like myself, guys like Jermaine, TJ, I mean, just the vets now, Keenan Allen, I mean, you just adding certain guys in the locker room. I feel like we're gonna see through, and it's like, nah, that what you did in college, the Hollywood, it's like, nah, that you got to prove yourself. You got to get to know him, too. I think it's a fine line between trying to prove a point to him but also getting to know him, because, I mean, at the end of the day, we want him to be the absolute best he can be.
Look who's here. A friend's in the building. Damian Woody, Kimberly A. Martin.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, guys.
I don't know. He doesn't have the tie on, but
I'm good. He came here,
Molly. We supposed to be talking about football. What's the first words out of his mouth? Yo, man, I got to get with your sister. I need her to make me a favorite dish. He talk about Carmen.
Yeah, because you and Shay Shay was talking about it. You was talking Carmen. Yeah. So I'm, the camera, I'm looking right.
Carmen.
Miss Carmen.
We got to talk to you. We got to see you, girl.
I need you. Stephen, they've been bragging on you long enough. I need you to make your boy, Big Papa.
I don't know. You're looking kind of slim.
You look young. That's why I'm acting the way I'm acting, Molly.
You look.
He looks young.
You look fantastic.
You do.
Thanks. But the one thing we ain't gonna lie to the American public about is you slim. Ain't no slim in Big Woody. You understand what I'm saying? Not in Biggie. No, that's not you. But you look good. You look good. You always look good. Come on now. That's like saying the sky is blue. See how I did that?
You see how I did that?
You always trying to get my shine.
Yeah, because you want to.
Let's go.
All right. Yeah. Your hair does look fantastic. Kimberly, would Williams be in the right situation in Chicago?
Yes. And no. Is it a better situation than
this? This is First Take, Kimberly. I expect more from you.
Yes and no?
I expect more from you.
It can be both. You know why? Because, yes, Caleb will walk into a situation better than what Justin Fields walked into, correct? However, what I do know about the Bears historically is that they don't know how to develop quarterbacks properly, regardless of regime. So the reason I say I'm hesitant to say 1,000% yes is because they haven't proven that they'll have Caleb and will do right by him. I know that we're going to talk about Caleb a lot, what he needs to do. But what about the head coach, Matt Eberflus, a guy that a lot of people thought should have been let go? He fired his entire offensive coaching staff after the season. So for me, Matt Eberflus, he can't be let off the hook. He has to be better. And when you look at, you know, Bryce Young last year, everybody thought, going number one, he's going to a great situation. What doomed Bryce Young was the fact that the roster wasn't good in Carolina and the fact that that coaching staff was not cohesive. So I think Eberflus has a lot to prove with the staff that he's put together beyond just Caleb. So, yes, Stephen, yes and no.
Both things cannot be true. Go ahead, Biggie.
I can't even believe you came out sideways like that. Yes and no on a debate show. I mean, please.
Here's Kendrick Perkins to tell people the rules of this program.
I know. Listen, I'm going to go yes. So much of what I talk about young quarterbacks when they come into the league or go to an organization, I talk about like the infrastructure. Like what are they going? What are they stepping into? Mm-hmm. If you look at what Caleb Williams is stepping into as opposed to when Justin Fields came to Chicago Bears, it's night and day. Okay, last year you traded for DJ Moore. You went out and you traded for Keenan Allen. Okay? You went out and you signed DeAndre Swift, the running back. They've already added on the offensive line. You got Cole Kmet, the tight end there. So just on the offensive side alone, okay, you got legitimate weapons, guys that'll make life easier for any quarterback, especially for a rookie quarterback. And you talk about Matt Eberflus, and we know that his forte is the defensive side of the football. Well, if you look at how he's done as far as that side of the ball is concerned, remember they made that trade for Montez Sweat last year. Yep. When they did that, the last eight games, the Chicago Bears had the number one scoring defense in the National Football League. So you're a young quarterback. Now you have a defense that's backing you up, surrounded by all these weapons. That's how you help a young quarterback transition to the National Football League. This is totally different than when Justin Fields came into the Chicago Bears organization. So I'm going yes in this situation.
So am I. I totally agree with you. It's very definitive. But we won't judge Kimberly Martin too harshly because all she's really showing is that she really knows how to dance. Just say you know how to dance. That's all. That's all you have to do.
Right.
That's all she's really saying. But here's the reality of the situation is that you're absolutely right. They acquired Keenan Allen. They got DeAndre Swift. You still kept DJ Moore there. You got Kmet at the tight end spot. You're looking at them offensively. You've got some cats that have been in the league long enough from a veteran perspective to really, really assist you, particularly if you're a rookie quarterback with star written all over you like Caleb Williams is. We get all of that. I also think you got to take into account Ryan Poles and the fact that he's in that position now as opposed to Ryan Pace, his predecessor, who passed up on Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson to draft Mitchell Trubisky. He's never going to recover from that. He probably good luck getting another job as running a football team in the future. That ain't going to happen. And when you got that on your resume, okay? So Poles is a different animal. He's moving into a different direction. I was kind of surprised they kept Eberflus as well. If you're going to fire the whole offensive staff, I love how you get rid of everybody but keep yourself. That's amazing to me. But it is what it is. The fact is, at the end of the day, if you got a new offensive system, you got a new quarterback coming in, I also think you have to take into account what kind of situation you're walking into in terms of what your predecessors were. Let me give you a list. Going back to 1985 from Jim McMahon. Mm-hmm. These are who the Chicago Bears quarterbacks have been. McMahon, Steve Fuller, Mike Tomczak, okay, Doug Flutie for a year, okay. You got Jim Harbaugh that was there for pretty much 4 years, okay, 4 or 5 years. Steve Walsh, Eric Kramer, Dave Craig, okay, Shane Matthews, Cade McNown, Jim Miller, Cordell Stewart, Craig Quenzel, okay? Rex Grossman.
Right.
I mean, my God. Just think about it. Mm-hmm. If you Caleb Williams, particularly with Justin Fields struggling the way that he struggled over the first 3 years, primarily because of the system he was in more so than him, you're playing with house money. Mm-hmm. You're playing with house money.
So here's where I will push back on both of you, because the question is not, is Caleb Williams in a better situation than Justin Fields? The question is Caleb in the right situation if he were to go to Chicago, correct? All those names you just mentioned would give me pause.
Who said something about the Steelers? Who said he's in a better situation than Justin Fields?
Right. Part of your explanation is this is a better situation for Caleb than Justin Fields.
No. Justin
Fields is a different situation. Is this the right situation for Caleb Williams? And all those quarterbacks that Steven just mentioned shows that the Bears do not know what they're doing at quarterback thus far. So that's what gives me the hesitation, because I haven't seen it yet, D. Wood.
To be continued.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV.
claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.